No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam, taking you to jungle land. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're all. All the plays, Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle Juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going. We might be in the middle of a tornado while this show happens. So I guess we'll see what happens.
It's coming for me. Like we're about an hour and a half away from the edge hitting us because it's at like a diagonal from where we are. So I think it's going to hit you first, and then I'm going to get the back end of it. But you know what? As I say, if you're in the area,
stay safe. Yeah. And also keep watching, even though, you know.
Yeah, Mick's going to give live weather reports during the game, right?
I am literally, you see, there is a window right next to me.
So what is the plan that if in the middle of the pod, I see a tornado in the background ripping towards you, do I warn you or do you just want to go out and not even know it's coming?
No, we got to keep the show rolling.
Okay.
We got to keep it rolling.
That's the correct answer for this.
These are like our favorite shows of the year.
Yeah.
Like we're not letting anything stop us.
No.
Doing these shows.
Absolutely not. Coming up on the show today, it's NFL draft season
and we are less
than a month away from that. So on today's show, it's all about the first round and Mick, I didn't expect to take as many notes because I think last year, for the most part, I think our show, we probably listed maybe 6 to 8 names, maybe 10, because
names do you have this? I only have about 10 this time around.
I don't know how many it is. I spread it out though and went like, this is a position. Here are a couple of the guys. Maybe we're talking about some guys that might be, you know, later in round one or might be not on the board. But still, so I think it's important, though, for us to at least discuss because these are guys I have at least seen available in some mocks for the Bengals that I have. And there's a lot of different ways that it can go. I think we're both fairly confident that defense is probably the section that it'll go, but it could go offense as well. We'll talk about that as it goes along. But yeah, so that's the primary focus for today's show. We invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, 5-star rating.
Help us out, guys. We appreciate it.
If you like our show, or even if you don't, like that would be a great way to tell us to screw off is by giving us a 5-star rating, right?
There's no such thing as bad publicity, Sam. There's no such thing.
No, all publicity is good publicity in a lot of ways. News of the week. There's really not a lot as far as it's kind of a, was a slow week, really.
I was going to say, I didn't remember anything coming across this week.
The only news is, and I'll leave this up to you for a question, is that, you know, the owners meetings and the NFL meetings start this week. We got to see the picture. Zach Taylor was in there of, you know, mm-hmm. all of the head coaches. But one of the proposals and the new rule proposals that have come out is that to make, for one, the kickoff rule permanent. But now the touchback would move from the 30 to the 35-yard line, and onside kicks can be declared at any time. I ask you this. Were you a fan of the new kickoff rule, and are you okay with these changes?
Yes and yes. I did like the new kickoff rule. I thought we saw a little more action on the kickoffs, but I think after about 2 weeks into the NFL, I think that it started just becoming the old kickoff where, well, you know, the 30-yard line, yeah, that's an okay starting position for NFL offenses. You know what? We'll just make it that and kick for touchbacks. Moving it to the 35, I think, is a drastic change, you know, to the point where it's not going to be like the old kickoffs, because the 35-yard line is excellent starting position. They're not going to treat it like it's the 25 or the 30, obviously.
You're three first downs from field goal range.
Exactly. I mean, in hell, even with good kickers, two. I mean, you're really one first down away from a team going for it on fourth down if it's within 5 yards, right? So, yeah, I think that it would be a welcomed rule change coming forward.
Good day, Frank. Thanks for joining us. But yeah, that's really the only news that came. I really have no opinion about the new kickoff rule. I didn't hate it. I didn't necessarily love it. I just thought, it was a thing. You know, it was fine. I think it was worth a shot. And I think you need another year probably of data, making some tweaks and so on before you can really make a decision of whether it was good or not. But I mean, listen, the old kickoff rule, it was touchback. This at least adds something to it.
The old kickoff rule was a mere formality of the game. Like, it was essentially just nothing. Like, it's, I don't know.
Let's put the ball at the 25-yard line.
Yeah. Like, if that was the case, then just get rid of kickoffs. Like, if you were going to do that, but no, you wanted to keep the kickoffs around. You tried to make a change here. I think it was a pretty good change to start out, but I think it does need to be tweaked with the yardage, with the touchbacks, because again, NFL teams are just like, oh, it's at the 30. Who cares? You know, that's pretty much the same as the 25 to us. So
now the one criticism, yeah, which is warranted, is that you can no longer get a surprise onside kick. And
yeah, I don't like but really, there's no way to do it at all. Like, there's no way.
Like, you're not going
to
get the Sean Payton onside kick in the Super Bowl anymore. And part of that is just, I don't know. But then again, at the same time, how many times does that happen in an NFL season? The quote unquote surprise onside kick when somebody's not expecting.
Now you could change the yardage of the onside kick. Instead of 10 yards, you got to do something probably a little more like in between where these players are lined up, right? Like, so instead of 10 yards down the field, what if we made it 30 yards down the field or something like that, somewhere in between, where the players are lined up on both sides and you say that's the line for the onside kick, and it could still be a surprise onside kick in that sense.
What I think will happen is I think you're going to see that 4th-and-20 rule or whatever it is, where you get one play, you have to get it 20 yards to pick up.
I'd much rather have 20 yards,
then it's an onside kick and it counts as the same. But again, that's not going to come anytime soon. I'll just be interested. Okay, we talked about that. We've got a ton to get to as far as draft information. And if you're a fan of the draft, this is the spot for you. If you don't necessarily love nerding out on the draft, we invite you to stay and learn about some of these potential names that the Bengals could be going for. But it is, and if you're not, then hey, we'll see you in a couple of weeks if you're not somebody that likes to just nerd out about the draft. But the Bengals are picking 17th in the upcoming NFL draft that will happen next month. Some draft history. The Bengals have drafted 17th four times in their history. In the first round, the most recent was, put you on the spot,
David Pollack.
Second most recent. Good job pulling out a David Pollack reference there.
Did you say Keith? Yeah, did we go through this already? Isn't it Keith Rivers?
It is Dre Kirkpatrick.
Dre, okay.
Dre Kirkpatrick in 2012, David Pollock in 2005, Brian Simmons in 1998, and Jason Buck, a defensive end from BYU in 1987. I will say, that's a pretty decent lineup. Yeah,
the most recent three, for sure. I don't know who David Buck is, but the other three, Jason Buck, I mean... Yeah. Yeah, Brian Simmons, good, you know, pretty good linebacker for us. Played for, what, 7-8 years?
And, I mean, David Pollock is a what-if, you know, yeah, with his injury.
Yeah.
Bengals had a lot of linebacker what-ifs during that stretch. The last five NFL number 17 overall picks. You got a little wave here. Dallas Turner.
Okay.
Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Zion Johnson.
That. Yeah.
Alex Leatherwood.
Oh. Okay, that's a Gruden
and CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, sweet. Okay, okay.
Yeah, you got some wide variety there as far as offense and defense. But the Bengals, every single time they have picked 17th, they draft a defensive player. Does that mean anything? Of course not. It's been 13 years since they drafted 17th overall. Okay. Do we just want to go like offense and then end with defense? Cause that'll do it and hit some of the offensive positions and just go there. Because I know we got to talk about Cam Ward, obviously huge target for the Bengals. Shedeur Sanders, we got to dive into all of those guys, right?
Sure.
No.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I've pretty much I feel like I've narrowed it down to three position groups that it's going to go down to.
I think so too, but I at least wanted to talk and rip through some names of the Bengals say, screw it, we're going off the wall, and we're just saying, let's drop 50 points a game, and we're going to get some weapons. And the first one, and I saw a mock draft posted earlier, I know James Rapine had a link to it on his site, and it's the guy that, it is just so fascinating, because for one, he's not going to be there, so I don't really want to spend too much time on it, but it's Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State.
Yeah,
he's almost assuredly gone. He's almost assuredly gone, but just to at least mention him. Last year, 6.9 yards a carry, nearly 2,600 yards. This is the stat, though, that is just blows my mind. He forced 152 missed tackles as a running back last year. Do you know how many missed tackles do you think was second place, which was Cam Scatabo?
So what, Jeanty was 152?
152, yes.
I'm going to say Cam Scatabo was probably like 65.
103. So okay. It was nearly 50 more was Jeanty. Again, let's just say, just for the sake of a 15-second conversation here, Roger Goodell gets up on the mic and says, with the 17th pick, the Cincinnati Bengals take Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State. What's your reaction?
Yeah, okay. That's fine with me. I'm okay with that.
It's one of those that make me go, ooh, okay. I mean, I like it. Like, let's just score 50 points a game, but okay.
Get the second coming of LT. Yeah, I'll take it. That's fine.
Yeah. Ashton Jeanty, I'll take it. Okay. Wide receivers, at least hit two of them really quick. I don't think you had any because I don't expect wide receivers.
I did not have any. I did have Matthew Golden originally, and then I took him off.
Okay. And again, I'm just dropping a couple of these names, not because I actually think, more just to put them into your perspective of you're going to potentially be hearing these names for the Bengals. You got Emeka Buka from Ohio State. The biggest thing with him is he has his experience in the slot, which is a hole right now for the Bengals. You're not sure that Charlie Jones, Andre Yoshivash, you're not sure how much faith you really have in him in the slot. Jermaine Burton, whoever knows what the hell he's going to be doing, there is a hole in there. Now, is it a first round hole? I don't particularly think so, but at least he's a name. He was 22nd amongst slot yardage last season. And then the other guy who I love, he's maybe my favorite, and I think he's your favorite wide receiver in this draft as well. Well, maybe not. Is Luther Burden.
He is my favorite.
Not as great of a year last year for Missouri. Has a lot of experience as a slot guy, too. I know PFF on their draft preview, they compare him to Deebo Samuel. So that's kind of the way that I tried to think about a lot of these names here is, okay, do I want the Bengals to draft Deebo Samuel for their offense 17th overall?
I mean, if we did have other holes, yes. But I think we have other more pressing needs than a Deebo Samuel gadget type of guy on the offense.
And I agree. Because what round did Deebo get picked in? Wasn't he like a fourth round pick?
Second. No, he's a second rounder, okay, second. I think.
I'm putting myself on the spot here of thinking of when he was. I think you're right. I think he was, what, like 40th or something? Yeah, the second round.
36th overall pick, second round. 2019.
But that's kind of the way I thought about that. Okay, so there's
which is also conveniently where I think Luther Burden's starting to be projected to be picked, is right around that spot in the draft.
Which is interesting. Interesting.
I mean, yeah, it is interesting, but, you know, it's kind of what comes with the slot wide receiver position. Teams are not looking to draft that position very highly in the NFL draft. I think the highest recent memory I can remember is JSN with the Seattle Seahawks.
Was he like being 17th? Drafted?
He was like 22nd, I think, 23rd. Oh, yeah.
Tight end, really quick. It's not going to happen, but Tyler Warren is the guy that you're going to be hearing about. I think he'll probably be gone, but I mean, just doing this is, you know, he's second in missed tackles forced, third in contested catches last year via PFF for Penn State. He is not quite, you know, you're going to hear Colston Lovegood. Is that his name?
Or Loveland. His
name? Loveland from Michigan. He is probably more of your Mike Gesicki kind of tight end. Whereas Tyler Warren can at least block.
Yes.
Whereas Mike Gesicki, you know, obviously that's Mike Gesicki's wide receiver three. You know, Tyler Warren will at least go in and block.
He's a more explosive Ben Sinnott, or Ben Sinnott, I think, in my opinion. He is a really good tight end. I don't really have him on my draft board at all, but and I do think he goes really, I think he might go higher than what anybody's even projecting. Like, There's a good chance with the departure of Evan Engram with the Jacksonville Jaguars that he could be going at number five. They might be liking him that much. Now, we don't know anything in terms of visits with teams and so forth. We're going to figure out more knowledge on that probably in the coming weeks. But yeah, I mean, I do not think Tyler Warren's probably going to be around. Colston Loveland, on the other hand, probably will be around.
He will, yes. And to me, though, I don't love that pick for the Bengals because he is more of a Mike Gesicki tight end. And the Bengals probably need a guy. They need what they hoped Eric All would be this year. A guy that can block but can actually go out and catch some passes.
Interesting enough, Colston Loveland's comp on PFF is Tyler Eifert. It's not a terrible comp.
And now here goes, I have to do it. Does that mean he's going to get hurt every year?
Yeah, probably.
Somebody's going to drop that comment probably in there, if not already. Okay, now I think we go into the offensive line, which I think there is a scenario where the Bengals draft offensive line in the first round.
Yes.
I don't think it is as great as the defensive line, but there are at least a couple of names that I think are worth us discussing when it comes to the offensive line. And obviously you're seeing a whole maybe plural, of guard for the Bengals. So there are a couple of names that you could potentially see slotted in there. And the first one who, it's very interesting. PFF does not love this guy at all. Well, I mean, I guess they do not love him as a first round pick, rather, at least on their big board. But you've seen this more consistently in mock drafts. And I think you might know where I'm going, of Tyler Booker from Alabama. He has played almost entirely as a left guard, which, hey, the Bengals need that. You know, they have a spot at left guard in his career. Not a fast guy, but doesn't really matter for the Bengals offensive line. They don't really care. I mean, Orlando Brown Jr. is not the epitome of speed by any stretch.
No, but it's not just poor speed with Tyler Booker. If we're looking at the RAS scores, it's poor speed, poor explosion, which I think matters a little bit for offensive linemen. And okay agility. I mean, a 3.93 RAS score is pretty bad. I know you're wanting at least a little more athleticism out of your offensive lineman. But the thing is, he's got a very high football IQ, and he's really good in pass pro. 96th percentile pass block grade.
Exactly what I wrote down.
75th percentile in pass block efficiency, but where it gets a little iffy is in the run block grade. 53rd percentile grading was not great. You know, and then Trevor Sikkema's little synopsis of him pretty much says that Booker has some foot speed and balance issues that keep him from being a blue chip prospect, which is something you definitely need to have at the NFL level. But there's still a lot to like on him. He's powerful. He's well built. His coaches have absolutely raved about him with his football IQ and in his demeanor on the team. Would definitely seem like a good culture fit for Zach Taylor in this organization. So those are definitely some pros with him. I wouldn't be terribly mad at Tyler Booker being drafted at this round or at this pick. There is a guard I like a lot more.
Tyler Booker, and then we can get to your guy. To me, he is the guy, and I have some stats on this later on in the show, of the Bengals trade back. You know, they trade back to maybe 24, and Tyler Booker might be the guy there in that realm. And I just used 24 just to pull that out of my, like, that I'm not specifically saying. I couldn't even tell you he's picking 24.
It's also a tough decision there because also the team picking right after the Bengals or two picks after the Bengals with the Seahawks at either pick number 18 or not. I think they're the pick right after another team that are very much needing a guard. So, like, you don't want the Seahawks snatching your guy if you're going to trade back.
That is an interesting point as well. Who's your guy?
Gray Zabel.
I felt like that was coming up. I had him listed here.
Gray Zabel is a fifth.
You want to go back to North Dakota State?
We're going back to North Dakota State, Sam. And for good reason, Gray Zabel was absolutely amazing this year. If we're putting his grading into the FBS, which I know there's a little bit of a drop off of competition, also, so I guess we'll go for the grading first. 99th percentile in pass block grade, only allowed one sack in 2024. 94th percentile in pass block efficiency, 98th in run block grade. And the level of competition is something to maybe be concerned about, but I feel like those concerns were kind of essentially wiped away at the Senior Bowl, where he walked away as one of the big winners at the Senior Bowl.
Without question. The biggest thing with Gray Zabel, too, is that he has unbelievable position versatility on the
yes. He can play any of those literally five positions on the offensive line.
And he did in college. He had at least three snaps at every single position on the offensive line during the last 3 years at North Dakota State. He played every snap at left tackle last year, played left guard, right tackle the year before, and then I think had some snaps at center and right guard as well. I think right guard was the one that he had just three snaps. But he you mentioned just the pure rise out of nowhere for him, because he's a guy that really nobody was projecting as a first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably, I think most of the season was around day two, like late second round, early third. That Senior Bowl put him into first round conversation 100%. And I don't think a team's going to let him get out of the first round, just given everything that everything that he's produced in 2024 in that Senior Bowl as well.
He's made a lot of money. He's made a lot of money with how he has done. The PFF comparison is Graham Barton. Yeah, that's a more recent
I'll take
one.
It. And it's a great comparison, by the way, because Graham Barton was also one of those position versatile guys that we were talking about last year.
The other guard tackle-ish that I think you're going to at least see mentioned, and his draft stock has gone wild. Like, it's just, as far as fluctuation goes, is Kelvin Banks Jr. From Texas. Now, you look at it, and let's just go with here is the most basic stat I want to. He was Texas's starting left tackle all of last season, and he allowed one sack in 538 pass blocking snaps in the SEC.
That's pretty damn good. And that's why I think he's still going to get selected before the Bengals get to him at pick number 11.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. The reason why I know some pundits are putting him as a sliding him inside to guard is that he's got shorter arms,
which
usually does move you inside of the guard position. But he's at least a name that I think is worth mentioning. I don't expect him to be there. He's probably in that, 10 to 14 range. You know,
I currently have a mock to the Bears at pick number 10. So I think
that, and they need offensive line help. And he's probably after the guy from LSU, he's probably the second Will offensive Campbell. Lineman off the board.
He's second or third, because Armon Membu is also just absolutely skyrocketing on draft boards. And it's funny because all these other offensive tackles right now are having arm length issues where everybody's translating them to guard, essentially. What you mentioned, Kelvin Banks, Will Campbell is already dealing with that issue as well. His arm length is such a concern at being a tackle that he's pretty much being pigeonholed to be a guard at the NFL level. where Armon Membu doesn't have an arm length concern, but the guy is only 6'3". That's pretty short for an NFL tackle, but they're saying that he's probably the most surefire person to play tackle out of all these first round guys.
Those are the offensive names that I think are worth mentioning. Yeah. Is there anybody that we missed?
No, I mean, I had originally on my board and then I took him off where Amarian Hampton and the running back out of North Carolina and Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas. I just don't see the Bengals going with Chase Brown had too good of a year for you to be drafting a running back in the first round. And then why you just have more pressing needs than having another wide receiver being your trio. Whereas I think there's better wide receivers or wide receivers that are just as good as the first round receivers that you can get a day two.
And that'll be next week when we're going to dive into that. Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and let's jump into the defense here and the names. We're actually making good time. We've flown through, but guess what? This is where we get down to the nitty gritty, because there is a ton of names for us to discuss as far as potential, because there's a lot of variety as far as what this could go.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah,
let's go edge first.
I've got a lot of them.
Yes,
we've got a lot of edges here.
Abdul Carter, you can dream. No, it's not happening. There we go. Okay, so there's one name off the board.
I will say this with Abdul Carter, I think he slides a little bit, just given,
but not to 17.
No, I think he probably, right now, I think he could potentially slide down to the Jets at number 7. So it's not like he's going to be a top 5 pick, just given the needs that the other teams have.
Can we just send him like a gas mask and make a video or something where he could drop down to 17? Or
This is we got to drop the Moegger, send him a gas mask or get him into a bar fight. We see this every year about a guy that we really want.
Yeah, Abdul Carter would be phenomenal. It's just not going
to
happen.
To be fair, we have two edge rushers that are really good that already have gas mask level implications on them. So different things than a gas mask, but
Mike Green. I'm just going to let you take it.
Mike Green from the Marshall Thundering Herd, my favorite team. Go Herd.
Mike, I'm the one that has the direct connection. I've got family on staff now. Maybe I can get Mike Green on the show.
Was your family in Huntington the day of the crash?
No.
No, neither was mine. I think my grandma might have been on her honeymoon, if I remember correctly. But
I can't remember. Hey, listen, if Mike Green gets drafted by the Bengals, we might be able to get him on the show.
Maybe. Yeah, diehard Marshall fan. I think he'd come on. But yeah, absolutely amazing year in 2024 for Mike Green. Sun Belt Player of the Year. Not Defensive Player of the Year. Sun Belt Player of the Year. He was the Sun Belt MVP. Unbelievable season. 17 sacks. 10 QB hits, 59 pressures total, 99th percentile in pass rush grade, 96th percentile in pressure rate, 96th percentile in pass rush win rate at 20.2%. And that doesn't stop there. He was the number one graded edge rusher in run defense in 2024, 96th percentile run stop rate at 9.4%. The issue is that people say, well, he played at Marshall. The level of competition isn't as great. But guess what? He had some non-out-of-conference games against some high-quality teams, including the team that won the national championship this year in Ohio State. And what did he do? Posted 2 sacks against tackles like Josh Simmons. And I can't remember who the other guy is now. But yes, against a quality team in the Ohio State Buckeyes. And then also you saw the video at the Senior Bowl of him just absolutely lighting up Josh Connerly Jr. That was amazing. There is an issue with character concerns. He has had some sexual assault violations out there. And I'm hoping, that the Bengals and other teams are vetting this because that is, a potential red flag when it comes to drafting the guy. And then the other potential issue is, what type of edge rusher do we want on this defense? Do we want a guy that's smaller, that's built for more like a 3-4 scheme, or do we want guys that are bigger, guys that we're used to seeing on this defensive line, like a Trey Hendrickson, like a Sam Hubbard, Osai, Cam Sable are also big guys. So, yeah, that's going to be the biggest question, is what type of edge rusher does Al Golden want for this defense? We talked about the Viper position. I don't know how comfortable I'd feel about Mike Green dropping back into coverage. There's another edge rusher similar to that build that I would feel a little bit more comfortable about in that position. We'll talk about him later. I think Mike Green's going to be a really good NFL player.
You mentioned the sexual assault thing, and that's something that, teams are going to have to do their due diligence on. It wasn't just
and they once. Are doing their due diligence on it for sure.
It wasn't just once, it was twice. In high school and once in college. Now, there has never been any actual connection between him getting dismissed from Virginia and that, but it happened, he got accused of that 2 weeks before he got kicked off the team at Virginia. But Virginia never made any comment on it, connecting that. You're reading in between the lines on saying that, but it is something. Now, he has denied both.
Yes.
He did at the combine. He spoke on it a lot during his interviews and so on, but it at least is something worth mentioning on how much teams are willing to, I don't even know the phrase when it comes into that, but yeah, it is something to at least mention.
Another somewhat of a con against Mike Green is that we do not have a lot of testing numbers out of him.
Because he has.
The only thing he did at the combine was bench press. He had 28 reps, which is a pretty good number for an edge rusher to have, but he didn't do anything else. After he blew up Josh Connerly Jr. at the Senior Bowl, he was like, that's it. I'm done. I've proved my case. Those are two kind of things, the things kind of note of about him.
Next edge rusher on the list, and you could pretty much just put these into a hat, and let's just draw out. How about let's draw James Pierce? He's a guy that has really fluctuated as far as his draft position too. In fact, I've even seen some mock drafts that now have him going day two, which is crazy considering that a year ago, people were calling him the number one overall pick.
Nothing to do with his skill on the field, too.
21 sacks in the last two seasons for Tennessee. Good run defending grade. 23% pass rush win rate in the SEC as well.
Second, number two in all of college football in that stat.
Elite when it comes to that. Now, the biggest question with James Pierce is his frame. And he is got the height. 6'5", but only 243 pounds. And I know that some people are saying that is going to make him. He is an edge rusher. You're never going to be able to see a 243-pound guy go up into the inside, line up, and rush from the interior like you will see some of these quote-unquote elite edge rushers do in the NFL these days. So that's kind of the question, and you're seeing some draft pundits describing him almost in a realm as a lottery ticket of realms.
Yeah.
Now, you've got the opportunity for this to skyrocket. I mean, James Pierce could be the best edge rusher in the NFL in 5 years. I don't think anybody would be surprised, or he could flame out and he'd be a guy that you're saying, oh, remember James Pierce? The wild realm of that reminds me a lot of an offensive lineman we talked a lot about last year, as far as you were buying, and I described him at the time as a lottery ticket. And if my memory is right, I think Cincinnati Bengals drafted said lottery ticket. Now, the lottery ticket so far, it looks like it's going to cash in with Amarius Mims. But that's just a question is would the Bengals be willing to take a lottery ticket back-to-back years?
Yeah, that's a good question to have. Now, with the size concern, I'm not too concerned about the size because guess who was also around the same weight as him coming into the draft? That's Micah Parsons, by the way. Micah Parsons is only 245 pounds. Now, he was vetted as more of a hybrid linebacker edge rusher when he was going through the draft process, whereas James Pierce Jr. is definitely more of a straight edge rusher. But James Pierce Jr. is just so freaking fast. He's got an excellent twitch at the line of scrimmage. It's the kind of athlete with the production that you want to see at the NFL level. He's the type of guy, if you're just looking at his athletic profile alone, that you just can't pass up on potentially. That's if his character concerns weren't an issue, in which they are. I mean, we've heard reports coming out of the combine that James Pierce Jr. did not interview well, that he's been dropped off of teams' draft boards entirely, which is something that I don't necessarily want the Bengals exploring. They tried it around this past year with Jermaine Burton at the wide receiver position. We weren't too concerned about it after we did our post-draft show because of how good of a locker room culture that the Bengals have had. And we thought maybe Jermaine Burton could kind of grow with this locker room, third round pick. And it was a third round pick. Now
you can risk a third round pick.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, Jermaine Burton, it was definitely on him to kind of mature and do it on his own here. But I guess the locker room culture probably wasn't as great as it always has been this past offseason with the contract issues that Jamar and T were facing. But I just don't necessarily want to risk that this time around. There's plenty of other good edge rushers in this draft that we're going to discuss today. But yeah, I mean, if we're just looking at the tape, athleticism alone, I mean, I would love to draft this guy, but the character concerns are just not.
He was projected to be the number one overall pick a year ago for a reason.
Yeah.
Because he's freakishly athletic. He has production in the best conference in college football. Like it means something. And listen, this is, it kind of hurts me a little bit, Mick, because I mean, it's coming for me as a Kentucky guy. And I'm telling you, Leo, James Pierce is really good. Also, he pretty much ended poor Brock Vandegrift's career because Kentucky's offensive line decided, let's just not block him. I think that's a good decision. And had James Pierce on a free runner on Brock Vandegrift. And that did not end well whatsoever. Who's your next edge?
Donovan Azuraku.
I knew you were dropping it.
Edge rusher out of Boston College. Had a really good 2024. 14 sacks, 20 quarterback hits, 60 pressures, 97th percentile pass rush grade, 87th in pressure rate, 91st in pass rush win rate. Was really good in run defense as well. 95th percentile in run defense, 98th in run stop rate. His relative athletic score from what is it called? Math Bomb? Is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. 8.28, so solid athleticism score, great explosion, elite agility grades. The size grade is pretty much like the last two guys that we just talked about. He is a little bit on the smaller side. He is viewed as a 3-4 edge rusher at the NFL level. But he's very smart, very instinctual. He has like a Euro step kind of move in pass rush, which you don't necessarily see that. And I think that's where that agility really comes into play when you're watching the tape. So yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I could see them potentially taking a flyer on if they're looking to have a different type of edge rusher on this team.
One of the big pros to him is a very low missed tackle percentage.
Yes.
And that's big. The Bengals need that. They can't be missing tackles, and it's something that Al Golden has talked a lot about. Michael Williams is another name from Georgia. Very interesting guy. You know, 11% pass rush win rate, pass rush grade for 70.7 with 6 sacks. Did move around a lot, but the biggest thing with Michael Williams is you're getting a run defender.
You are. A really good run defender.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I even wrote down, I used the word elite when it comes to that. If you're looking just statistically, he is an elite run defender. For me, yeah. Though, I don't love the fit for the Bengals just because this is what you're hoping Miles Murphy is.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're, because I think if you're drafting him, he's taking Miles Murphy snaps, and I think in a lot of realms, do you see the Bengals move on from Miles Murphy and flip him or whatever it is? And that's why I'm not sure that he's necessarily the guy just for that reason.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree with what you're saying there, but
he's really good at run defense, though.
He's really good, and that is something the Bengals have emphasized this offseason so far, is shoring up the run defense, getting guys like TJ Slayton, bringing BJ Hill back. Oren Burks was really good in run defense this past season. I don't know. I feel like I see what you're saying with the whole Miles Murphy. That's what we drafted him to be, that Sam Hubbard, more of a run defender than a pass rushing edge rusher guy. But if that's what the Bengals are prioritizing in the offseason here, they could potentially take a flyer on Michael Williams and draft him at 17 overall.
Especially when you think about, what division do the Cincinnati Bengals play in? The AFC North.
Yep.
What's the AFC North do a lot of? They're going to run the ball. You know, I mean, the Ravens, you know, you're trying to find ways to stop Lamar Jackson, because to get to win the AFC North, you're going to have to beat the Ravens.
Yeah. And also, the Steelers don't have a quarterback right now. So I know that they just got DK Metcalf, but they might be running the ball as well a lot. So
they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. I need it.
What's that news coming out?
He's taking his time, he says.
He's in a forest right now, tripping balls.
God only knows where the hell Aaron Rodgers is. I mean, if you read a headline tomorrow that said Aaron Rodgers is on vacation in like Uganda, would you be surprised? No, I don't think I could tell you a single place that he was seen, and you'd be like, oh, that's kind of surprising, just because that's Aaron Rodgers for you. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. To me, the way I described him is he is the Bengals trade back pick.
And I don't think he's available at 17.
Really?
No. He's being viewed as Trayvon Walker right now. And
the biggest worry for me with him is he has really not had any production in college. You're betting on the future.
No, you are. You are. But, you know, even though the production hasn't been there, I think it may have been more of a scheme issue with Texas A&M as well. I mean, we see there are three day one, day two guys on that defensive line that are being called those, you know, types of prospects that didn't really have great production at all in 2024. Along with Shamar Stewart, I'm talking about Nick Scorton and Shamar Turner. So we don't know if it's a scheme issue or not, but the 9.99 relative athletic score is eye-popping to all these teams. He's already had a ton of top 30 visits amongst teams that are drafting before the Bengals. And I think he might've had a top 30 visit with the Bengals as well. I can't remember if he has or if he hasn't. But yeah, it's just the testing numbers are so off the charts that I think a team is going to take a flyer on him early. He does have really high potential. And the numbers weren't terrible. The pass rush numbers weren't great. 37th percentile in pass rush grade, 61st in pressure rate, 63rd percentile in pass rush win rate. That's a 12.4%. But his run defense grade was really good. 98th percentile in run defensive grade amongst edge rushers. And 44th percentile in run stop rates. But we're talking about lottery tickets. Shamar Stewart is a lottery ticket type of pick.
Can the Bengals afford to do that?
No, I want a guy with some production.
I agree. And that's kind of where I threw him down as far as I don't expect him. Let's go inside. And then we can bounce out some linebackers.
Yeah, okay. The other edge rusher I have is also pretty much a linebacker as well. So we'll talk about
Georgia.
Him.
Are we going to Georgia? Yes. Okay, yeah. We'll come back to him in a little bit because I have him. Because I put him down as like a Viper, which is...
He is the Viper. He is exactly. The Viper of this draft.
So let's come back to him here in a few minutes and let's go into defensive tackle. And do you just want to start with your guy and just let you nerd out on...
No, I actually did not go with defensive tackle at all for the first round here.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, just given the BJ Hill signings, the TJ Slayton signings, you still have McKinley Jackson and Chris Jenkins on this roster. I think that especially with bringing BJ Hill back, they are going to ride it out with this interior defensive line group, and they're not going to just throw a first round interior defensive lineman at pick number 17.
Interesting. The names though for interior defensive tackle, because I think I do think that there is a possibility. Kenneth Grant, who is a nose tackle out of Michigan.
Really good nose tackle.
Great run defender. Pretty solid pass rusher. To me, he is a like DJ Reader in that realm as far as he is going to happen in. Appreciate you, Freddie. Appreciate you for joining us. So he's kind of in that realm. Walter Nolan is a guy that you love, I know, for the Bengals. Graded as the eighth best interior defensive lineman in college last season. 6 sacks, 25 hurries. Biggest thing with him, though, he's really good against the run, and he's a very good pass rusher. You know, PFF, we've mentioned some of their comparisons. Milton Williams, who's a guy that I know I was really wanting the Bengals to go after. So you're telling me that I could potentially get Milton Williams without having to quote-unquote pay much for him? That at least means something to him. And then the other name that I wanted to drop in is actually Joe Goodberry. His prediction for the Bengals as to who they will draft. And it's a guy that I don't think you love as much. And that's Derek Harmon, a interior defensive tackle from Oregon. 22nd ranked interior defensive lineman last season. Elite pass rusher. Good to great run defender. And they describe him as Christian Barmore for that. So those are a couple of the interior names. But again, that's Joe Goodberry's prediction. Not his who he wants. That's who he thinks the Bengals will draft right now at number 17 is Derek Harmon.
Okay. No Walter Nolan love?
I just talked about Walter Nolan.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you said Kenneth Grant and Derek Harmon.
And then Walter Nolan, Milton Williams.
Oh, okay. 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 Yeah. I thought you were okay. I was wondering where you gave the Milton Williams comparison because I was like, Kenneth Grant's not Walter Nolan or isn't Milton Williams.
Well, Walter Nolan could be.
Yeah, he definitely could be.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay. So there's Walter Nolan. Yeah, because he's the guy that you love out of Ole Miss. Okay, let's go into Jaylen Walker talk. From Georgia. He is a linebacker / a Viper. And Viper is going to be a position that you want to get familiar with if you're a fan of the Bengals.
We've talked about this quite a bit in recent weeks.
And we're going to be talking about it even more because it is a position that Al Golden has used at Notre Dame and you would expect him to then bring into the Bengals scheme. And it's really, I think the best way to describe it to somebody who doesn't know the ins and outs of football, I always like the explain it to me like I'm five. It's you're in between an edge rusher and a linebacker is probably like the most simple way to describe the Viper position. Are you in agreement with as far as simplicity there?
Yes.
Okay. And the best Viper in this draft is Jaylen Walker, who is from Georgia. And I'll let you take it from there because I know you're a big Jaylen Walker guy.
Yeah, so I didn't even put down run defense statistics, but
not,
I would assume
not good. Not good.
Not great. Okay.
Not great.
The pass rushing numbers are elite for a Viper. 34 pressures, 7 sacks, 5 QB hits. Those numbers may not be as great as the other edge rushers, but he's also playing linebacker part-time, so he's a part-time edge rusher. But if we're looking at the pass rush win rate, 90th percentile in pass rush win rate, 17.2%, 97th percentile in pressure rate at 12%, and 88th percentile in pass rush grade, hovering right around an 84, and an 85 pass rush grade last year. Just an extremely versatile player, was asked to do a lot on this Georgia defense. Maybe a little bit was to his detriment, sometimes in the run defense, sometime in coverage. But he's physically and athletically gifted, has a great presence in the box, great versatility. And we saw him make a lot of big plays for this Georgia defense. And if that's a position that Al Golden's looking to fill on this team, I think this is a guy that you gotta get.
The biggest thing with him too, he's young.
He's really young.
21. He could just now buy alcohol. He just turned 21. 6'2", 245. You mentioned the coverage. He allowed 10 of 12 targets last year, which not good. But you got those stats, I think, in my eyes, can be a little bit misleading, because you really don't know without watching each of those individual film as to the reason why.
Coverage grading wasn't terrible either. A 67.5 coverage grade for a guy that's playing edge and linebacker part-time is honestly pretty good.
Pretty solid. But he is the guy, I think, of the, like we mentioned, last time the Bengals drafted 17th, I mean, two out of the last three times they drafted 17th, they drafted a linebacker. And whether it's David Pollack or Brian Simmons, maybe they continue that trend in drafting a linebacker come April the 24th. Is that right? 24th, yes. When they draft in the first round it was in Green Bay. Yeah, it's in Green Bay this year is the draft. Corners. I don't expect this to happen, the Bengals to draft a corner, but it's also not like crazy. To me, if you're listing the likelihood of where the Bengals draft, this is ahead of your wide receiver running back, in that realm, but behind defensive line, maybe that Viper position and offensive guard.
And safety. But I think safety is also a potential first round draft pick here as well.
Yeah. The number one name that I think fits into the Bengals is a guy you actually mocked to the Bengals, what, about a month ago? Mm-hmm. And that's Jahdae Barron. And, he would be in your realm of a Mike Hilton replacement.
Yeah. He can really play both inside or outside at corner. He's a versatile guy. He had an elite season at Texas, 91 coverage grade. His pass rating while targeted was a 34.2, which is really good. 5 interceptions, 9 PBUs in 2024. I don't think he's going to be available at pick number 17. I think he's getting a lot of love from teams that are picking before the Bengals. Right now, I have a mock to the Cowboys at pick number 12. If he's around, sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, moved around a lot, ranked towards the top of the nation in coverage grade last year, allowed only a 54% completion percentage. And again, Mick, remind me, what conference was he in?
In the SEC. SEC,
which football. It means something. When you're playing against, now the SEC didn't have as great of a year, primarily in the quarterback position, but still, it doesn't mean nothing with that. The other name that has been a popular, or did you have something more on Barron?
The only other, con for Jahdae Barron is that he did take a huge leap this year, and it was also his fifth season in college football, which is, it does bring me a little bit of pause that, well, it's taking you 5 years to really get it figured out to become an elite defender. But otherwise, he's a really good prospect.
The guy that I've seen mocked quite a bit to the Bengals is Will Johnson. And he's another guy like James Pierce, where, a year ago he was, would you say top five? Mocked in most, he was towards the top of the first round. And missed most of last year. with turf toe and a minor shoulder injury. Yeah, Riley did say Joe Burrow was a five-year guy. Do you hate five-year guys, Mick? He took a fifth-year jump. Mick hates Joe Burrow. That's, you heard it here first, right?
Yep. I hate that guy. Terrible player. Most overrated quarterback in the league.
Oh gosh. But could they go back to the Michigan DB route?
You know, I hope production. They don't, just because I'm tired of seeing it. I'm just really
nine interceptions, three pick sixes in college. I mean, I don't like, this is one of those that if Roger Goodell gets up there on the 24th and says with the 17th pick, the Cincinnati Bengals take Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan, I'm going to go, oh,
we really love drafting those Michigan DBs. You know, that's
Leon Hall and, you know,
Dax, DJ Turner.
Yeah, just keep on keeping on. I mean, just Michigan defensive players, really. I mean, you got to throw Chris Jenkins.
I don't know if Al Golden will let that happen. I don't know if he'll let that happen this time around.
But still, it's a name to mention with this. Safety.
There's a couple names.
Malachi Starks is probably the name that you're going to see mentioned the most. But again, he's probably a guy that will be off the board by the time the Bengals pick at 17.
I don't agree with that. I
most mocks I've seen have him in the, you know, 10 to 13 range in that realm.
I mean, on the consensus board, he is, I think, like 20 something.
Interesting. Yeah, I was reading some earlier. But still, Malachi Starks, you good run defender, coverage. He's an interesting player in coverage because sometimes he makes some wild plays. And then other times
I saw one interception that he had against Clemson that was absolutely filthy. Amazing.
Yeah. And then amazing. Some moments he doesn't look as great in coverage. Yeah. To me, they're better safeties in this draft for the Bengals.
Yeah. So just with Malachi Starks real quick, I mean, we're 96th percentile run defensive grade. Only 26 in run stop rate, which was kind of weird, but he was definitely a good run defender, I think. 73rd percentile in coverage grade, 54th in forced incompletion rate, 61st in passer rating while targeted with a 99.6. Those coverage numbers are a little pedestrian. And then also the relative athletic score for Malachi Starks was not great at all. I had a 5.5 out of 10. He had really good speed numbers, but his poor agility numbers with the shuttle and the and other testing numbers of that sort. Was a playmaker for the SEC for three straight seasons. He has really good football IQ, but that athleticism really scares me with Malachi Starks.
Well said. I think you're going to go to South Carolina for your next one.
I am going to South Carolina, who has also conveniently had a top 30 visit with the Bengals already. That is Nick Emenwori, safety out of South Carolina. Excuse me. Really, really good numbers across the board. 71st percentile in run defensive grade, 61st in run stop rate. Coverage grade was elite, 95th percentile. Passer rating while targeted, 96th percentile, was in the 30s. Allowed like a 35, I think, passer rating while targeted. Had four interceptions this year and also had the rare perfect relative athletic score at a 10 even.
You don't see that.
Yes. And you don't see that happen very often. And you really see it on the tape just with the way that this guy moves. He's a big, hulking, strong safety. If you've seen him made a lot of good plays at South Carolina, saw him take some pick sixes to the house last year. I think that his testing may have been so good that he might be selected before pick number 17. I think we're going to start seeing mock drafts where we're going to start seeing Malachi Starks fall to that 20s range. And you're seeing Nick Emenwori skyrocket to the teens range right now. Right now I have a mock to the Dolphins at pick number 13. But there's a really good chance he's available at 17 for the Bengals, and there's a good chance we select him.
Any other safeties you're wanting to mention?
No, those are the only two.
Who is your long snappers to mention as far as the 17th pick?
I don't know, but Cal Adamitis really screwed us over in that Ravens game.
Yeah, blame it on Cal.
He looked like the old number 48.
Oh, too soon. It's too soon. I'm not ready to talk about it yet. I wasn't expecting that mention today on the podcast whatsoever. Kicker, it's not going to happen.
I'm not even talking his name.
Punter, not going to happen. Other than that, I think we've pretty much jumped through. Now, there is one more scenario that we haven't talked about. And that's the trade back. Now, they're not going to trade out of the first round. Like, I can't imagine that being, unless they just get the stupidest offer. You know, I just can't imagine. For one, I did see, this is off topic, but I did see somebody, you know, I think it was a Bears like fan site said, oh, we should trade. When do the Bears pick? Like 11th?
10th.
10th. We should trade the 10th pick to Cincinnati for Trey Hendrickson. And I was like, yep. Trey, I'll pack it up.
Yeah, I bet Troy. I bet Troy's trying to get that. I bet Troy Blackburn's trying to get that trade worked out right now. Yes. That's probably why we're getting reports that the Bengals are asking for ridiculous trade packages in return for Trey.
Yeah, listen, and if the Bears would offer that, I will. I'm sure both of us would help him move and shake his hand and say thank you very much for your time. But the trade back. So ironically enough, the 17th pick was traded last year. The Jags traded the 17th pick to the Vikings for the 23rd pick, a fifth rounder, and future third and fourth rounders. So I'm just going to list back some of these tradebacks that are at least in the realm of where the Bengals are picking right now. Now, it's not all perfect, but at least to give you an idea of what the package would be for if the Bengals decide to trade back. So in 2024, Dallas got a third round pick to move back from 24 to 29. The Pats got a third and a fourth to move from 21 to 29 in 2022. And in 2021, the Vikings got 2/3 to move from 14 to 23. So you're looking that if the Bengals move back in the first round, you're looking at probably picking up a third round pick. Just in that realm, and maybe a day three, depending on how far you move back with that. I'm not surprised if this happens.
I am. Just given the need that we have at edge rusher, and the edge rushing talent drops dramatically going into rounds 2 and 3. Really, I mean, after these first round edge rushers are picked, pretty much after Nick Scorton, there really is nobody until you get to Braden Swinson out of LSU, who is looked at as a high third round, late second round pick.
Jack Sawyer, Mick.
Yeah, I don't.
Sorry.
He's going to have a top 30 visit, by the way. I don't think he's around at pick number 50. I think that some team is going to take a flyer on him before the Bengals get to him. But
I'm more just head to just because he's in Ohio State.
Or JT Tuimoloau.
You are going to see. I would be stunned, though, if the Bengals only draft 6 times in the draft next month.
I agree. Yeah, 100%. I agree.
They are going to make a trade back.
Yes, I think it's probably going to happen in day two, probably with the second round pick, if I had to guess, or with the third. But yeah, you need to get some more draft picks in this draft. Yeah, I can't tell you the last time the Bengals have had less than 7 draft picks in a draft. So yeah, I think that a trade back does happen. I just don't see it happening in the first round, just given the need at edge rusher, and potentially if you wait. I mean, there's going to be some edge rushers around, I guess.
I'm just interested into, we see so much. One of these quarterbacks, other than Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, one of the other guys, whether it's Jackson Dart or something, is going to jump. Because some team, they know they need a quarterback. And the question is does that cause a panic run on quarterbacks in there? And I'm just trying to think of a realm. Because, listen, is Jackson Dart a first-round quarterback?
Maybe.
I like Jackson Dart.
I like him a lot.
but teams will draft Jackson Dart as a first-round quarterback just because he's a first-round quarterback, if you get what I'm saying with that.
Yeah, I think the Steelers potentially take him at pick number 21.
And that is very possible. And actually, I think that would be a somewhat decent pick for them because I do like Jackson Dart. Luckily, not enough that I'm going to have to like be sad that that's where he goes, but it's still a thing. Okay. We did this last time. And now that we've hit the 1 hour mark, I think it's perfect for us to go ahead and we can change it when we do our mock here in a couple of weeks. But who is your first prediction for the Bengals to draft at pick 17?
because I have Eamon Mori coming off the board at pick number 13, and I have Mike Green coming off the board, and I don't want James Pierce Jr., I'm going with Donovan Ezeraku.
Okay. And we are allowed to change this because in a couple of weeks, we are going to do a show where we're going to do a seven-round mock. Maybe seven. Well, I guess six-round mock because we aren't going to be able to do it. I guess we'll be able to throw in a seventh-round pick that day because I think the Bengals will probably get one at some point when we do it.
Can I have a tie between two players?
Okay. Not in a couple of weeks, you can't, but tonight.
No. Donovan Ezeraku or Gray Zabel would be my two guys right now.
And I know you disagree, but I think Walter Nolan. I really think interior defensive line is still on the table because they need help. And I think they know they need help. And you didn't see enough from Chris Jenkins. McKinley Jackson showed some flashes, but we mentioned, you know, TJ Slayton, he's got an easy out after year one. And I think BJ Hill's contract has an out too in it as well. So they're trying to get younger in that realm. And I think both of those guys are more of your stop gaps and hoping that they can fill a role. So I'm going to say as of right now, Walter Nolan is my prediction for 17. Of course, we can change that coming up. Okay, there we go. We just jumped through a lot of names on day one of the NFL draft for the Cincinnati Bengals, including our predictions. Next week, day two. And a lot of names were going to be dropped there because I think you could open up pretty much any position except quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I really think you could. I mean,
maybe tackle. No quarterbacks or tackles.
Yeah. Unless you're classifying, you know,
a tackle as a guard.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the guy Wyatt Milam or something like that from West Virginia, where he's a tackle, but probably will slot inside a guard. But yeah, you're probably right in that. And obviously specialist. Like you're not going to see that I don't think you're going to see a specialist drafted at all in this draft. So that'll be next week on April 13th, 2 weeks from tonight, we will be day three. That's where we get into the real nitty gritty. Like that's where it gets deep. That's where it gets really deep. And then on the 20th, we'll have our Bengals mock draft where we will actually mock who we think each round. And then on the 23rd, so it's the Wednesday before the draft, we will do our first round mock where we will randomly select what divisions we get selected and go from there. We'll have some friends on that will help us do that. Remember to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and your favorite podcasting platform as well. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating that way as well. That's a lot of content we just went through.
It is. I need a refill on my water after we're done here.
You're allowed to go do that right now. So any parting thoughts or is that your parting thought that you need water?
I need water. Thanks for watching today, guys.
You appreciate everyone for tuning in. We'll see you back next Sunday live. Remember, you can listen back on the Spotify as well or iTunes and do it that way. So until next time, hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style, delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.